The Spirit of God enables you to take risks. Oh yeah. And the Spirit of God will transform you. Your life will be different because He's risen from the dead.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Easter Sunday, April 5th, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Reordering Your Life, and our text comes to us from John chapter 20, 19 through 23. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
This is my 47th Easter service message in this church. Can't believe where time has gone, but time goes really fast. And as I reviewed all the 47 Easters that we've spent together, I come back to John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. It's a wonderful chapter that addresses the issues of life and the reality of the resurrection. Why do we really enjoy or celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's because Christ being alive matters. Because He is as much alive today as He was, 2,000 and some odd years ago. And that He is involved or wishes to be involved in your life if you will let Him do that. And so in John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23, it reads this way. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus, what?
Came.
And stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." After He said this, He showed them His hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." That's the story and the passage of Scripture for this Easter service. Lord, we pray that You will speak to our hearts, that You will lead us into that path that allows us to see You as a risen Savior with purpose and design for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things before I go into the text. We rejoice that Brother Lucho, who was contemplating open heart surgery, the Lord's intervened, and I think they're going to give him a couple of pills to take every week. So thank the Lord for that. A wonderful work of the Lord. It's just wonderful. Praise the Lord. Yeah, give a hand clap to the Lord. Yeah. We thank the Lord for Sister Delia, who's recovering nicely from total knee replacement. And she watches us on Facebook now that she can't come to church. And we just thank God for the move of God in her life. And we also want to thank the Lord for Martha Garcia. Martha is not doing well physically, but she's doing very well spiritually. And we pray the Lord will continue to strengthen her and the family. She's seeing us right now. So Martha, Dios te bendiga, portate bien, por favor, que nada te cuesta. It's kind of hard for her to catch that. But anyway, we pray the Lord will bless her and strengthen her. This morning, I'd like to address the reality of closed doors in our lives. This passage of Scripture tells us that the disciples were gathered behind closed doors. They were afraid. They were not celebrating as we are celebrating this morning. They had fear, confusion, and uncertainty. Messiah, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who they had followed for 3.5 years, had been crucified and was buried. And there was no victory in their hearts, but just confusion and defeat. Easter was not experienced as victory. It felt like a threat, like now they're going to come after us and they're going to do away with us just like they did with Jesus. But what happens is something formidable. What happens is that in those closed doors, Jesus shows up. He is a gate crasher. All of a sudden, we find that Jesus enters into that closed door, into that place where the fears and the confusion and the absolute desperation, He shows up. He shows up. So this story is not about closed doors, but what God does when He enters into our closed doors. Because I want to tell you, Some of us have those doors closed, and we live in a place in life with fear and self-protection and withdrawal, and we live with a loss of direction, and we sometimes accompany our life every single day of our lives with uncertainties and not know what to do, fears that come upon us. Today, there's so many fears that we can signal out for you, but why should I do that when you already know what they are? You know what they are. Of course you know what they are. The story is not about closed doors, but it tells the story about how Christ comes into your space of fear, uncertainty, vulnerability. He comes into your life and says one thing first of all, peace be with you. He wants to be brings to you in the locked place of your heart. By peace, it's much more than simply peace. It's the cessation of struggles, but it's something much more. It's Jesus coming into your room, coming into your home, and finding out that the kitchen is in the bedroom, and that the bedroom is in the kitchen, and that the dishes are on the floor. He comes and rearranges the furniture of your home. He rearranges the structures that you have. He says, no, the bed is in the bedroom, and the kitchen goes into the kitchen, the stove goes in the stove, and all of a sudden, peace brings uniformity, brings clarity, it brings strategy. Ah, so this is how it functions. For some of us have been sleeping in the kitchen. Some of us have been eating in the bathroom. I said that before you think it. Some of you have your life upside down. And Jesus comes into your life and into my life, into the locked places of your life, and says, I am going to rearrange all of your furniture. I'm going to rearrange your life in such a way that you will have this ability to look at life and say, oh, so this is how we should live. I mean, peace is what orders our life. And only the peace of God can do that. You try, I try. You go to psychologists, you listen to talk shows, you listen to advice, but only Jesus can come to you and bring you peace in the midst of real fears and real problems and real consequences. Jesus comes and gives you what we know as a new reality. This is how life should be lived. It needs to be lived in the presence and the company of Jesus, who brings to us harmony with everything around us. He reorders our world. Our world sometimes is just wacko world. And Jesus comes and reorders our life in such a way that we can live life with peace. Imagine all the fears that you have if they're gone. Imagine all the concerns are ordered. Imagine God setting the table. Imagine the Lord working in your life and saying, this is what needs to happen, and you let it happen. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. All of a sudden, peace confronts the fears that you have. All of a sudden, you take a deep breath and say, hey, the Lord is here. If God is for me, who can be against me? All of a sudden, God begins to work, and he begins to replace the anxiety and the hostility and the instability and all those issues that eat you up as the day goes by. Some of us wake up in the morning all full of anxiety, and we go through the day even worse. And at night, we're worse, a mess. And in the morning, we start all over again. But imagine if you can wake up tomorrow morning and there's peace. And you don't feel the threats. And you don't feel the hostilities. And all of a sudden, all the enemies that you have are made peace with you. But all of a sudden, God intervenes in your life. And peace replaces the anxiety, the hostility, yes, the instability. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, for he is risen, he establishes a new order in your life. That's the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That not only did he rose from the dead, but he is alive today. And he ministers to you and to me. And he is able to speak those areas of our life that are out of shape into shape. The peace of God, scripture says, that surpasses our understanding. You can't process it mentally. It's just God's working in your life miraculously. Yes, working in your life so that fear, anxiety, and restlessness and conflict moves away. Is the counter peace realities of Jesus coming into your life. So when we sing that he's risen from the dead, that he is alive, when we say he rose from the dead, when we speak about Christ, the resurrected Christ, we're saying he is the one who enters into your space. Oh, and the disciples had their doors closed, but he still got in there. And you may have your door closed, but Jesus wants to come in there and surprise you and say, here I am. Peace be unto you. He shows up. Oh, he is there. You need to acknowledge that because he is there. Second thing he says is the following. He says, I'm going to give you peace. But this peace is attached to something very important. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I sent you. The Lord Jesus doesn't just give you peace for nothing. He gives you peace because, my brothers, there's work to be done. You don't just sit idle with peace. You use your life for the glory of God. And the resurrection is not just private comfort. It creates mission. It shows you that there's something that you need to do and that you need to be busy at the Father's work, that there's something for you to be done that only you can do and is the product of his peace in your life. Yes, the fearful church, oh my goodness, were they afraid? I mean, they were just very scared. Maybe as scared and as conflicted as some of us are today as to how you're going to resolve the issues of your life and how things are not compounding and things are not adding up. But I want you to tell you that the Lord can see a fearful you, but he can change you by giving you peace and then by giving you purpose for life. There's not just sitting feeling sorry for yourself or happy for yourself, but he gives you a purpose. He gives you direction. He gives you something for you to do for the glory of God. So the church and your conviction coming to Christ is not an end in itself. It's not just getting your problems resolved. No, it's not just that. It's for a purpose, for an assignment, for a duty, for a concern that God has that only you can do for his glory and for your benefit. So I am saying to you, you and I have an opportunity to receive his peace. And after we receive his peace, we will find purpose for living. We will find reasons to live. It's not going to be just like old days. Something new happens when God gives you peace. He addresses your life and empowers you to do what needs to be done for yourself and for those around you. So how many of you want the peace of God? Get ready for the peace of God, but get ready for an assignment. Get ready for an assignment. Get ready for an assignment, because the Lord gives you an assignment. He tells you something is going to happen in your life that was not happening before. I love that. Now, when he says that, by the grace of God, he doesn't say, now you're on your own. Immediately after he says you're going to do something, he says, receive the Spirit. For he gives you peace, he gives you a commission, and then he says, receive the Spirit. Because you're not going to do this on your own. The Spirit of God will come alongside you to make it happen. So God commissions you and he gives you an opportunity to do things, but he sends the Spirit of God to your life to receive it so that you're not doing things alone. For alone, you cannot do it. He said it. Without me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. He sends the Spirit of God to your life, divine power, divine energy, beyond human capacity. There's something God wants to do that is going to overwhelm you because you're going to do something you were never able to do before. And you were never able to do before because you had no peace. But now you've acquired peace, and now you got the Lord's giving you a mission, something to do, and then all of a sudden you're empowered by the Spirit of God to do it miraculously by his power, by his strength. He does it in your life. Divine energy comes to you. An ability comes to you beyond your personal human capacity. The presence of the Lord will do that. But also, the Spirit of God in your life brings to you something very important. It gives you the capacity to obey what he says. The Spirit of God inside of you gives you or enables you to do what needs to be done. There's something marvelous about Christ coming into your closed door, coming into your mess. Well, maybe too descriptive, but coming into your life, bringing you peace that surpasses understanding, speaking to you directly and allowing you to see that there's purpose, that there's a mission, that you're not done yet, that this is not the end, that there's more for you to do. And then he sends his spirit to enable you, to strengthen you. Good grief. My goodness, he is risen from the dead, and he's giving you all of that this very morning. This very morning, the Spirit enables you to have courage. The Spirit of God enables you to take risks. Oh, yeah. And the Spirit of God will transform you. Your life will be different because he's risen from the dead. Imagine, had he not risen from the dead, the disciples will still be in that room all afraid, not able to do anything. They would have collapsed. The church would have never lived, would have never existed. But because he rose again, he comes and says to his fearful disciples, hey, peace. He says, peace with you. Peace be with you. The peace of God that surpasses understanding. I'm going to set your life in order. All the pieces of furniture, I'm going to put them in the right place. I'm going to allow you to live a life you've never lived before. He comes to you and he says, I have a job for you. I have a mission for you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. You have a responsibility to listen to that. Oh, yes. And may I just say to you that if you don't go, go say goodbye to peace. Because there's nothing worse than a Christian who knows he's supposed to do things for God and doesn't do them. That's another message, a whole series of messages as to the irresponsibility of Christians who have been commissioned by the Lord and they rebel against God. That's another message. Oh, good grief. That's a whole series. I think that takes 6 years to do. But the rebellious Christian, no. Listen, obey the Lord. Listen to him coming and then receive the Spirit of God that will help you do the work. Because you see, God's work requires God's power. You will never do God's work with your own power or with your own intelligence. It's the Lord that transforms you beyond what you're able to do, beyond what you're able to process, beyond what you're able to do naturally. So here we go. So he says, peace. He says, I send you. Then he says, I give you the Spirit. And then it's amazing the specific task that the Lord gives. This is what he says. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to forgive. Oops. Shall I go back to the first place, first point? Just stay with peace. He asks you to do something. In a very remarkable way, Jesus says that you and I have the authority, the ability, the capacity to forgive because we have been forgiven. Now it gets really personal, doesn't it? Gee, I should have stopped at the third point, not go to the fourth one. Because I'm saying to you from the depth of my heart, forgiveness is central to the mission that God has for you and for me. There has to be an element in your heart that is willing to forgive those who have trespassed against you. Wow. Jesus gave us the example in the cross. He said, the first thing he said on the cross, Father, what did he say? Forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Some of them know what they're doing. But you forgive them. This element of forgiveness in your heart is so important because it's active transformation of who you are. It's the element of the church to be able to forgive. And when you don't forgive, then those sins are not forgiven. That is to say, if you don't forgive, who else is going to forgive? You have a responsibility for forgiveness. I know. You don't want to hear that. All right. I can't help it. You and I are agents of reconciliation. We are the ones who have to bring people together. We're the one who have been tasked with the responsibility of extending forgiveness. And you know who you need to forgive first? I think you need to forgive yourself first. And say to yourself, if the Lord forgave me, I can forgive myself. Look at your life and say, whoa, what a life. Don't even tell me about it. I can see it. Ish. Just your life, okay? The Lord's forgiven you for that. He's forgiven every sin that you've committed. That does not come up before the Lord when he thinks of you. When he thinks of you, love comes up. Forgiveness comes up. Strength comes up. Commission comes up. God's presence comes up. Yes. You're well thought of by the Lord. The Lord loves you with an everlasting love. You can do no wrong. You can disobey the Lord and be rebellious, but you're still his child. May I just say that unforgiveness in your heart towards yourself and towards others brings division. And some of us are Christians and we can't forgive ourselves what God has already forgiven, and we struggle with that. Please don't struggle. The work of God is complete. It's complete, 100%. When you allow yourself to say, God has forgiven me of all my sin, then you begin to work. Then you can forgive others around you, because you will forgive others as you have been forgiven. Well, forgiveness is costly. I'm going to wind it down. You have not told me about the time. Come on, girl. Five more minutes? Okay. Can you take another 5 minutes? All right. Another 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. When you forgive, you will break what is known as generational brokenness. I know people who have a grudge against their father's father's father. Come on, drop it, grow up. And yet it happens. You gotta learn how to forgive. Because when you forgive, peace of God will overwhelm you. His words, to give you a commission to go and do. My goodness, it's unbelievable. All of a sudden, you sense the presence of God's Spirit in your life. And all of a sudden, you forgive people around you and you become an agent of reconciliation. Close doors, my brothers and my sisters. Close doors. How many closed doors do you have? How many times has the Lord spoken to you and you've rejected him? Why do you keep that grudge? Why do you keep that anger? Why do you keep those things that keep you from being someone whom God can work in their lives? Oh, the resurrection of Jesus is such that he showed up this morning. Did you know that? He shows up every morning. Every single day, his mercies are new. Yes, he does. And he enters into your closed room, into the secret parts of your heart and life. And it's a mess. But as he enters in there, he says, peace. He reorders your life. How many need the Lord to reorder your life? I ask him every single day. You know, fear is the enemy of faith. And fear often comes for the things that have happened and the things that are happening and the things that will happen. And we're afraid. Peace takes care of that. He gives you peace. And then he gives you a mission, a purpose. So your messed up life is inconsequential when the peace of God comes, because he commissions you to do things for him glory. And when you see he's calling you, he sends the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes upon you so you can have the power of God to do it. And then he puts in your heart a heart of forgiveness, and you begin by forgiving people around you. So these words redefine the church, brothers and sisters. And when the Lord speaks, as he spoke in John chapter 20, those words cannot be taken away. They cannot be undone once they're spoken. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just an event, it's an invasion. He invades your life and your heart, and he enters into the close spaces, and he speaks to you new realities. He reshapes your life. So my parting question to you is, what happens when Jesus steps into your close space? Is he speaking words of peace? Of course he is. Is he commissioning you? Of course he is. Is he sending you the Spirit of God? Of course he is. Is he asking you to forgive? Of course he is. May God speak to each one of us. May his peace reign in our hearts. Hey, he lives. Jesus lives. And because he lives among us, we can do all of this for his glory. So, Lord, I thank you this Sunday morning for your presence, Lord, for your words that matter so much. For you opening, Lord, the doors, the shut doors of our heart and lives. For you coming in there, stepping in there, in the midst of all of the different ways in which we protect ourselves. Lord, how you just come in, you invade our space. Lord, I pray that we will see you even today, and that we will declare you to be the Lord of our lives, that we will declare you to be the risen Savior that speaks and strengthens and allows us to be everything for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.